Blog Talk Radio.
Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in, and now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God. Hallelujah.
It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, rest on. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast. We are hosting tonight our Queen Talk broadcast. It is actually a sub-ministry of New Seasons Ministries in which we gather together, queen to queen, sister to sister, and we talk about 21st century women's issues from a biblical perspective. So we thank God for you tuning in tonight. And we have a special guest in a program tonight that I've been looking forward to all week. And it is none other, she is none other than Terry Richard. Terry Richard is with us tonight. And so she's going to be talking with you from the topic of, yes, you can live your dream too. Yes, you can live your dream too. If you have been on a journey of dreams deferred, if you've put your dreams on hold to be able to assist someone else with theirs, then this program is certainly for you. And I want to just welcome Terry. I want to give you a bit of background about her. She is, again, Terry Richard, and she is AKA Coach Tenacity. She is indeed the founder of Personalized Educational Services, LLC, and is also an award-winning author, educator, personal book writing coach, and podcast host of the podcast Tenacity Talks. Just Call Me Scholar is one of her latest children's books, which is a picture book encouraging our boys and girls to shine. And she's going to talk more about that literary work as she within the hosting of this program. As the host of Tenacity Talks podcast, Terry invites her guests to have a conversation about their living their dreams and encouraging others to do the same. Living her dreams, Terry is embarking on a new adventure as a voiceover artist. She's involved and wears a lot of hats, so she is certainly one to talk to if you want to know how to go about pursuing your dreams and also pursuing your dreams no matter what age you may be. She is excited about expanding her reach as she continues to use her voice to encourage, enlighten, and equip. For more than 30 years, her engaging programs, interactive workshops, and compelling writing has blazed the pathways of enlightenment for students of all ages. And so, again, this is a bit of background regarding our guest tonight, and I'm going to go ahead without further ado because we have a full program, and I'm going to bring Ms. Terry Richard in on the line and so that she will be able to go ahead and have access to our mic, and we're going to get started. Queen Talk audience, I present to some and welcome others tonight, Miss Terry Richard. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am. Constance, how are you?
I am doing wonderful tonight. Thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing good. You can hear me all right?
I can hear you loud and clear, and welcome to the Queen Talk radio broadcast. We are honored to have you tonight. We are so, I have been so touched by your accomplishments and looking forward to you coming to the program, being able to share with our listening audience, because at any age, as I shared during your introduction, we have dreams. God has gifted us, and we are supposed to use those gifts and talents certainly to glorify him. But sometimes those dreams, because we know that life happens, and sometimes our dreams get deferred. So I would like for you to just talk with our listening audience tonight on your topic of, yes, you can live your dreams too. So, but before we go ahead and get fully into the topic, would you go ahead and elaborate and tell us a little bit more about Terry Richard and who she is?
Okay, listeners, like Pastor Constance said, my name is Terry Ann Williams Richard, also known as Coach Tenacity. And I am originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I am the oldest of five siblings. And my dad and mom, they're gone now. But my dad was the oldest son of 17. And they would be happy and proud to know that I was on this channel this evening.
Yes,
and so,
wow.
What else can I say? Yeah, I'm also a grandma of one, and I have one daughter, and then my granddaughter always reminds me, and you have my dad too, so that means I have, she's talking about my son-in-law. So,
yes.
And my granddaughter, she's 7.
Okay.
What else about me? One of my favorite things to do, and as you'll find out as we're on this line, one of my favorite things to do is talk. And another favorite thing to do is to write. And I've been blessed to be able to combine those two, my love for writing, my love for talking as starting out after graduating from college, working in journalism for the Department of the Army as a magazine editor. And then I always wanted to be a teacher, so I went to grad school to get my certification in teaching. So I've taught in middle school, eighth grade, believe it or not, it was my favorite grade to teach, and I've taught GED prep. I've also worked at the community college level, which is where I met Pastor Constance. And, I just really love my life. That's all I can say right now. I'll let you answer the next question.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you for sharing that. That is truly wonderful. I also would like to, for you, just if you would, elaborate on your latest book, Just Call Me Scholar. As you shared with me that it is a children's book, could you tell us a little bit about the book and what age group that it's actually geared to, and how would one actually acquire or get a copy of this book?
Oh, yeah. Just Call Me Scholar is my first children's picture book, and that is for ages 3 to 8. And that's usually what they may put on a picture book. And basically it's like a really great book for parents to read with their children. And it's actually an illustrated poem. And I have an outstanding illustrator who did the illustrations for me. And Just Call Me Scholar, you can get it on Amazon. In fact, if you look on Amazon tonight, you'll be able to catch a sale, a really, really deep discount. It's under $10, and it's a hard cover book. That's not the original price, but that's the sale that's available right now. Just Call Me Scholar, and my name is Terry Ann Williams Richard.
Okay.
Just Call Me Scholar. Yeah, Just Call Me Scholar is a poem, and I wrote this poem to encourage kids. It's like, I am articulate, brilliant, courageous, determined, empowered, and free. People often wonder what they should call me. Just call me Scholar. And when I do the read alouds with kids, I have them repeat that line when I give them the thumbs up, just like when we do call and response in the churches and the gospel songs. I give them that thumbs up and they say, just call me Scholar. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. It sounds like it is, and it sounds like a great book to be able to actually encourage our youth. And also, too, for them to have a definition of exactly who they are in the form of those affirmations, which is so much of what our children need in this day and time, because there's so much out there that's drawing negative attention to them. So to be able to have literary work to help to encourage them, to edify them, to build them up, to give them that sense of positive identity, I commend you on that. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Well,
There's even a song I made up with for Just Call Me Scholar. And I asked my granddaughter, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and I asked my granddaughter before I came on if she wanted to sing it with me, but she was being shy tonight. But the song, one of my sorority sisters told me, Terry, you ought to make up a song like a chant. And so Here it is. I'm going to sing it for y'all right quick. S-C-H-O-L-A-R. Just call me Scholar. Yeah, just call me Scholar. S-C-H-O-L-A-R. Just call me Scholar. Yeah, just call me Scholar. And Scholar and oops, I'm messing it up. And learning is my superpower. I am a scholar. Who are you? Just call me Scholar.
Okay.
And that's my little song.
Yes, yes. And so, and that I love the beat, the catchy rhythm, the words as well. And something, you know, when children put anything to music, of course, it helps them to retain it. It helps, it reinforces the actual lyrics, which of course reinforce the meaning of the song. And so that's awesome. Not only does she have a book audience, she also has for the children a song to go along with the book. Well, that's great. I like that. I really do. Let's go ahead, Terry, and get into the questions for tonight. And the topic, yes, you can live your dream. So my first question is, the definition of living one's quote-unquote dream could be rather subjective. Say that the definition of the American dream has changed, and if so, how?
You know what? I'm going to just keep it real with you. When I was thinking about living the dream, I wasn't even thinking about the American dream.
Okay.
I'm out and talking about the dreams that God placed in our hearts, because
mm-hmm.
he created us, and he created us for a purpose, and he put those desires in our heart. We may be thinking, oh, this is just something I'm coming up with. So, yeah, I hadn't, and when I saw your question, I was like, I hadn't even thought about the American dream. When I talk about living the dreams, I'm talking about the dreams that God places in our hearts.
Well, I like that. I like the fact that you associate dreams with the dreams, or i.e. the desires that God places in our heart, because Scripture tells you that God will give you the desires of your heart. And my questions, as we continue, we're going to talk a little bit more on that level, simply because, and I ask that question on more of a generic level, because most, when they talk about dreams, they base dreams upon society standards. That's what the world does. It bases dreams upon society standard, the American dream. If you have two cars in the garage, and you have, two children, and you're making a certain income, and that's what many see as the American dream. Yet also, too, we can see that according to much that's going on in our society now, that for many, the American dream has become a nightmare. So with that, then, yes, you need to, and certainly those that are believers in Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we have an understanding that our dreams and our desires and fulfillment of those desires can only come and be truly fulfilled if we depend upon God to do so. We cannot fully live out our life without having the influence and committing to the plan of God. And that's where fulfilling of the dream actually it starts and ends, right there. So I'm glad you actually shared that and alluded to that. So my next question is, what would you say is the plan that one should follow in order to fulfill their dream, and especially given what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that as I talk to people, especially on my talk show, my podcast, Tenacity Talks, I always mm-hmm. open up with the question of tell me a little bit about one of your favorite childhood dreams. And Tenacity mm-hmm. Talks is a conversation about living your dreams and encouraging others to do the same. And so when we look mm-hmm. back at our childhood, we can notice some things that we did. You know, we may have been thinking it was just playing. But then later, as we look back over our life and reflect, we can say, wow, I grew up and this is what I turned out to be. And it does go back to my childhood dream. Or maybe there's mm-hmm. like a part of it. And so the strategic thing is we're talking about living your dreams. Think about what you would want to do or be if money were no object. That's one way to, you know, to have it come up. Or, like mm-hmm. I said, think about your childhood. And I also do vision board parties. And one of the things mm-hmm. I ask people is to think about something you would be willing to do if money didn't matter, if money was no object. Or it's like visualize, one of my favorite quotes is visualize your dreams and make them a reality. And so thinking back over your childhood, reflecting on some things that have been deep down in your heart or your soul that you've always wanted to do or be, or it just comes naturally to you. And then pray. And if you're already a person that's praying, God could be revealing these things to you, you know, as you go along. And maybe mm-hmm. as a kid, you didn't know about praying yet. You didn't know about setting goals. It was just in you instinctively. So as grown-ups, it's good to go back and reflect on that, you know, when we're choosing our careers or when we're deciding about what educational things to do, when we are graduating from high school or making career changes throughout the years, because you may change. Maybe you'll do something. You start out doing something when you're 20s, and maybe you want to change when you're in your 40s or 30s. But, yeah, so with that, just thinking about and reflecting on things that you love to do or that are in your heart, that's in your heart to do.
Okay. All right. Yes.
So, so you asked for like a plan, or so that was the thinking part. So that will come into like believing it. We need to believe mm-hmm. it. You can write it down, like write down goals and start working towards those goals. And just like one of my favorite scripture in the Bible is write the vision and make it plain. So write down your goals or do a vision board, and things will start becoming clearer to you. Or you may already be doing whatever that dream is and didn't even think about that it was back from your childhood. Did I answer the question?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, you did. And as you were speaking, I began to just reflect back even on my own life, and I'm sure that there are others that would agree that God has a way of allowing the things that you have a sought-after, accomplished, achieved, working all of those things together. It's like the pieces of the puzzle. You may not, as you are doing them, see them as an overall piece of the large picture, but somehow he has a way of intertwining everything that we experience in our life and working it together. One of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11, that talks about that God has a plan for your life to harm you and to give you a hope and a future. And so when you stated that, you asked the question or allude to, well, what would you do should money not be an option? And the other, one of the other questions that I would ask would be, what would you do should you know that failure was not an option? Because that's what that prevents individuals from pursuing their passion or their dream, that fear of failure. But then again, from a pastoral standpoint, I always share that, first of all, there is no failure in God. And so that if we are in him, then that means there is truly no failure in us because we are in him. And so with that, that means even though the things in our lives that may bring forth challenges or that may seem as though we have failed, they're really just opportunities because God is intertwining them into the big picture and working it all together for the good. So that, yes, when you look back, as you stated, over your life in your childhood, doing your passion, all of that does intertwine as the you step forward to fulfill your dreams. Here is another question for you, Miss Terry Richard. As we talked and you shared, you talked about fulfilling your dreams pretty much at any age. And so what advice would you give to a young person who may have started out to fulfill their dreams, but things just did not go as planned? You know, sometimes we sit down, and I know when I was in my 20s, I had written out basically what I wanted to accomplish, when I wanted to accomplish it, you know, even the person that I wanted to marry, what I wanted him to look like, and, you know, all of these things that I was like, and how I wanted to accomplish it by a certain age, by this age, and I was literally thought that I could sit down, write these things out, and then as time passed, just kind of check them off, but it didn't work that way. So speak to that. What would you tell a young person that set out to pursue maybe their dreams and things just are not going as planned?
Well, even though you wrote them down and they didn't come out as how you wanted them to, it's still good to write down your plans. And dreams and your vision. It is still good. And then we have to be flexible. Because line is that God will have something better for us. We can be flexible and we can be flexible. That's all I could say. We could be flexible.
Yeah.
And you may be introduced to something else that you didn't even think about. And then how all those skills may tie in. Or as we go along in life, we may think about our reasons change, our intentions change, our desires change, and that the reason why we wanted to be a certain thing, we don't value that anymore. Like maybe, I want to be this because you can make a lot of money, but then you're like, after getting into that field, you'd be like, wait a minute, I don't even like doing this, you know. So, yeah, and understand that in life, change is a part of growth.
Yes.
Flexibility is a part of changing. And so, and if we understand that and not get so hard on ourselves, you know, you were talking earlier about there's no failure in God. And there's a book I read some years ago, and you may have read it or heard of it too. Well, I'm sure you've heard of it. Failing Forward by John Maxwell. And that's like one of those really good books to read, because if we look at anybody's life, the people that we, and this is Black History Month, the people that we read about or hear about throughout history, they have overcome some tremendous challenges and some challenges that we can't even relate to, especially if we go all the way back to our ancestors, you know, who endured slavery. So failing forward, looking at failure as an opportunity to grow. And when we look at, you know, the inventors and how they will say they tried something, when they kept trying something over and over, they didn't look at it. I think it was Thomas Edison, or I can't remember. It could have been Thomas Edison. He didn't look at it as failing 100 times. It's like, no, that's 100 times it didn't work, and now I got to try something else. What would have happened if all the inventors stopped? They stopped.
Yeah.
You know, we would have the traffic light that Garrett Morgan invented. We wouldn't have a lot of stuff if people gave up.
That's right.
And so that's one of the things that we have to get in our mind, that it does not mean that that was not something that we were supposed to do. If it doesn't work out, it just means that's one part of the puzzle that will get us to the next stage.
Exactly.
And we were talking about another thing. When you talked about failure, it reminds me of when we're learning to walk. And this is one of my favorite examples of when we're learning to walk. When we're learning to walk, our parents do not say, or when we were raising our kids, and when our kids are walking, or when we were walking and learning to walk, and we stumbled or fell, nobody was like, get up from there. You should have been walking by now. What's wrong with you falling?
No.
Are you serious? So that's the way we have to look at our own journey through life, because that's the way God is looking at it. Because he already knows that. And then plus, if we look at quote-unquote failure, that could have us seeking God more. Like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm doing it and I'm messing up. Or even when we do, if it doesn't work out, God could, like, tell us, okay, there's something else you can do. Or are you ready to give up? And God is like, no, it ain't time for you to give up. You give up when I tell you to give up. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I feel like I would keep talking forever. But, yeah, I would tell that young person, don't give up. Things that look like failure is a part of the process. That's a part of learning and growing.
Yes.
And in the words of Maya Angelou, my favorite author, and Still I Rise, it's like, okay, that's just a part of life.
That's right. Yes, and still I rise. I like that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
well,
there. I'm gonna say one more thing.
Go right ahead.
Then what? When you were talking about failure and how things don't work out, somebody said today. She had a Facebook post. It was like, what have we changed? Instead of saying, what if it don't work out, we should start saying, what if it does work out? That's really something, right? Because a lot of times in life, we want to do something. But this little voice in the back of our mind or our own voice will start saying, what if it doesn't work out? And it is a good thing, and I'm going to start doing that. What if it does work out?
Yes.
What if it does work out?
Well, that question puts you into a totally different mindset. What if it does work out? You know, that's a mindset of who we are as overcomers. You know, the Word of God tells us that we're more than conquerors, that we're overcomers. What if it does work out? And so with that, remember also back to the Word of God. God's Word tells us that as a man or woman thinketh, so is he. So you should not think. You know, you don't want to be laden with the question over and over again of what if it does, what if it doesn't work out, what if it doesn't work out. That's a negative mindset. So absolutely, what if it does work out? Because back again, you know, and this kind of leads into my next question, there is a divine plan that is in place. And here's my next question before I even go into that or we talk about that. Do you believe that there is a divine purpose or plan already in place or in motion that influences the fulfillment of one's dream? And then if so, how should that impact one's decisions in the quest to fulfilling their dream?
Well, like we were saying earlier, because we are praying and reflecting on what God is saying to us and we're traveling along on our journey, and we know that we have, you know, that God has a purpose and a plan for us and how it's all going to fit together. So knowing that we believe God makes the difference. And then another thing, knowing that God believes in us. And so that's something really different to think about, how God believes in us. And I wrote this poem some years ago, and it's in my poetry book, which is called It's Still All About Love and Some Other Stuff. And I want to read, like, this one little section, because it's called God Believes in Me. And I want to read at the end. I believe in God. I just never thought about it, him believing in me. He created me and knows that I exist. He knows my capabilities and possibilities. I'm there for his glory, even during the time that I feel small or invisible. Weak, weary, ready to quit, feeling illegitimate, undeserving, even full of sin, God believes in me. So even with our shortcomings, even with our imperfections, even in our sinfulness, God still believes in us. He still has a purpose and plan for us. That's why he sent his son. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So that we can have the power to do the things that he wants us to do. That's why he forgives us, so we don't have to walk around carrying that burden. And that's when we, if we end up feeling so guilty about something like, oh, that didn't work out, know that that's not of God, that he wants you to feel bad about something that didn't work out.
That's right.
He wants you to have a renewed mind. He wants you to be transformed. He wants you to know that you are gifted. His light is in you. He has empowered you to do those things he created you to do so that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can make a difference in the lives of the people that you encounter, so that you can have a difference happen in your own life, because we are new creation in him. We are his masterpiece.
Yes.
And so, yes, God has a purpose and plan for us. And like you said in Jeremiah, the plan is great. It is to, it's for our good. It's to prosper us. It's not to harm us. So, yes, even in our, and I'm getting pumped up and thinking about it, God, he just has so much for us to do. And sometimes we let things get in the way of us seeing that and believing that. And we got to make sure that we don't get too stuck on what we don't have, that we missed out on what we do have and where God wants to take us and what he wants us to do.
Spoken very, very well. I totally agree with that. And also recognize that even though, again, those areas, and I don't call them failures, I call them opportunities in our lives, that God uses it all. I did a message entitled, God, he even uses the fragments. You know, those broken places in our lives, those, that brokenness, you know, God uses it all, and he promises to work it together for good, even the fragments, the broken pieces. That's the kind of God we serve. Another question for you, Terry, because we have those amid our audience of various age ranges. We have those that are in their late teens and early 20s, all the way to those that are in their 80s. And so what do you say to a person that, say, is age 50 plus? Do you believe that one that still have goals and aspirations and dreams to fulfill after age 50? And if so, then share some words of wisdom for those that are our age 50 plus listeners regarding fulfilling their dreams.
Okay, so the 40s are the fantastic 40s. The 50s are the fabulous 50s. The 60s are the sensational 60s. The 70s are the spectacular 70s. And the 80s are the elegant 80s. And the 90s are nifty, necessary 90s.
All right. Praise God. I like that.
And the 100, the hallelujah 100s.
All right.
Yeah, so yes, everybody.
Yes.
So when you know how we hear all of these different sayings, like you get, like you're like wine, you get finer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes.
Then when you think about cheese, when it ages, it's better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So think about all the wisdom you have by the time you are 50. That
was
50, though, a half of a century. I remember, because I'm past 50 now, but I remember when I was going to be turning 50, and it was like 2 years before I was turning 50, and I was talking to my daughter, and I was like, oh, man, pretty soon I'm going to be a half of a century. And she was like, Mom, what are you talking about? That's like 2 years from now. I was like, but I know, but a half of a century. And that sounds so funny, and like I'm way past 50 now, and it sounds so funny that I was thinking that. But now it's like, it's just the age. You know how people say age ain't nothing but a number?
But a number,
but
yes, I hear.
We got to be grateful as we age and know that, yes, we still can do stuff because, hey, there's people doing all 50 is nothing. Like the people, when they start turning 50, they think that's old, but that's nothing. Some people start thinking they old when they turn 40. I'm like, boy, if you think you old at 40. So, no, yeah, God still has a purpose and a plan. A lot of people have their second careers, or not careers, but second, gosh, what do they call it? I forgot, but it was like they're doing like their second stage of their life or whatever, you know? So, yeah, there's people writing books. Most of the people that are my target audience as a book writing coach are 45 and older. And, you know, most of the people in my networking groups that have businesses and are writing books and are doing all types of things across the U.S. and around the world, and they're 40, they're over 50. So, people are even better when you get older. You're better for real. You better because you just know more stuff.
Yes.
Wiser.
Wiser. Hopefully wiser. Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Thank you for elaborating on that and sharing those words of encouragement for our 50-plus listeners. You know, there are those that have been very successful at starting their second business, second careers after 50, you know, and some even after retirement, because you have certainly more time on your hand. And really those that do, they end up being more healthier. They have, because they have purpose, you know, so much purpose within their lives. And so they end up living longer, being more healthier than those that see retirement as, okay, this is the time for me to just go and sit down somewhere and, you know, no, it isn't. As long as you're still breathing, God's got a plan. I'm going to go ahead, Terry, if you don't mind, and open the lines up. We have about 11 minutes or so left in the broadcast for those that may have questions for you. And so if you have a question tonight for Ms. Terry Richard, or if you'd like to share in this discussion of, yes, you can live your dreams too, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We would like to hear from you tonight. We'd like to hear you share your thoughts on this topic. Is there anyone tonight that would like to share or have a question? Yes, you can live your dreams too. Ah, fantastic. Caller, I will go ahead and bring you in. That is caller 4294. Caller 4294. Go right ahead, please.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
Hello there, Minister Gretchen Manley. Go right ahead.
Yes, greetings to you. Greetings to you and your guests. I enjoyed listening to her speak this evening. It's been very eye-opening, and I love her energy and her enthusiasm for the written word. And I was just wondering, I know it's so important, the written word. What inspired you as a young person or as a young girl? Who inspired you, or what inspired you to want to write or want to share the written word with others?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, Maya Angelou is one of my favorite authors. And really, I started writing that I really remember where I was writing creatively. I remember writing poetry, especially as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I was always writing stuff, and I wish I still had this one poem I wrote about Muhammad Ali and Bruce Lee. That shows y'all I was out of my 50s. And so Bruce Lee and Muhammad Ali, you know, I just had, oh, man, I was a diehard Muhammad Ali fan. And I know I had something in there about floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee, and, you know. And so also I used to write poems. And when I was in college, some of the guys would be like, Terry, yeah, I want you to write me a poem for my girl. And I'm like, what? You're trying to, like, tell somebody you wrote it, you know. And then one more thing about the poems is when my poetry book came out, it came out in 2009, and that's when I was teaching GED prep. And I was so excited because I was teaching language arts, and I was teaching a poetry unit. And so my book was just out, and I was telling my students about it, and I passed it around. And it seemed like it was taking so long for my book to get back to the front of the room. So I was like, where is my book? And it was a young man back there. He was like, oh, I got it, Miss Richard. I'm copying this down for my girl. I'm like, hold up. Wait a minute. It must really be good if a 20-something want to copy it down and show it to his girlfriend.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'd also like to ask, where can you be contacted at if someone is, you know, interested in just asking you about how they can get started and just being, you know, maybe a mentor to them?
Absolutely, absolutely. The best, you can find me on Facebook, Terry Williams Richard. That's one way you can find me. And also, here's my email address, tutor, like the word tutor, T-U-T-O-R, the number 4, the letter U, the word today, at gmail.com. And so, yes, yeah, give me a call because, yes, I am a book writing coach. I do one-on-one coaching and a lot of other goodies concerning writing because that, like I said at the beginning, at the top of the hour, writing is one of my favorite things to do, writing and talking. So what is your name?
My name is Gretchen Manley, and I'm from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Oh, so, yeah, I hope to hear from you. Are
yes,
you interested in writing a book?
Yes, interested in maybe writing a book or maybe some poems also. So that really intrigues me, all the things that you've done, and I'd be pleased to reach out to you and maybe discuss some things or get some help.
Absolutely. Call me for real. Contact me for real. Don't just say that because I'm going to be looking for you. Gretchen.
Yes, Gretchen Manley. I got you. Terry William Richard. I got it. I'm going to find you.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure
speaking
with you. I've enjoyed your talking. And it's just so refreshing. And I like the what you said about it inspires me because I myself am 60 years old. So that gives me a lot of inspiration and hope, and I appreciate you so much. You really are a godsend.
Thank you. Thank you, Gretchen. Yay. Thank you.
Y'all have a good night. I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me speak.
Okay.
All right.
Be blessed.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister Manley. We appreciate that question. And also, too, caller, your last 4 digits are 8243, and I'm trying to, there you are, you're live. Go right ahead, please. Can you hear
okay.
me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you. I'm glad to hear everybody's voice. I'm Terry Richards' auntie from Cincinnati, Ohio. How's everybody? And all praises belong to her mother and her father she was brought up the way that she was supposed to. And I just wanted to leave this scripture with you all. I enjoyed you so much and the wisdom that Miss Richards have. And she's such an humble person that God honored her to give her this wisdom. You know, you have to qualify before God will give you this kind of wisdom. But Isaiah, the 30th chapter of Isaiah, and you all, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the road, follow it. Whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left, that's Isaiah 30 and 21. And this is what Mrs. Richards has been doing all her life. She has been giving God all the honor. The desires of her heart will come to pass because she was brought up on the right road. That's all I have to say for the time being for now. And may everybody be blessed.
Amen.
Thank you
so much for sharing that. Thank you. We appreciate you tuning in, listening in, and certainly sharing that. Thank you very much. Well, Ms. Terry Richard, we have about 3 more minutes left in the broadcast, and I just again want to extend my gratitude to you. Thank you for being a guest on our Queen Talk program tonight. It was truly a blessing, and we wish you much, much success. Continue to reach out to those to help them to fulfill their dreams and their purpose. So again, thank you so much, and God bless you, and you have a wonderful night.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everybody. Visualize your dreams and make them a reality.
Thank you. I like that in the closing. Visualize your dreams and make them a reality. Awesome. Well, Queen Talk broadcast audience, go forth this week. Have an awesome week, and God bless each and every one of you. And we look forward to you being back again every first Thursday of the month. Every first Thursday of the month, as we gather together, queen to queen, sister to sister, to talk about 21st century women's issues, praise God, from a biblical perspective. Thanks, and you all have an awesome night. God bless, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.